Welcome into the PNC studio here at Hallis Hall. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. If the voice doesn't sound familiar, I'm not Zach Zabeman. I'm Chris Bowden filling in for Zach tonight. And as always, we are joined by 85 former Bear Tom Thayer, ladies and gentlemen. Nice Super Bowl winning Bear.
Thank you.
Yes. And the applause you hear in our studio tonight, we are pleased to be joined by a group from FedEx. Give yourself a round of applause, too, for FedEx. And the loudest round of applause to the Bear we are pleased to be joined by tonight, linebacker Christian Jones, everybody. Christian, thanks for coming by. We appreciate it. The man also known as Cheese. No, he's not a cheesehead. His nickname is Cheese. So tell us, let's get that out of the way. Explain the nickname and how quickly it was given to you once you became a Bear here.
Yeah, it was given to me by a former D coordinator, Coach Tucker. Is doing rookie minicamp, and he saw me over smiling. So he's like, well, we need to come up with a nickname for you. He's like, everybody has a nickname. I'm like, all right. He's like, how about Cheese, Big Cheese? I'm like, all right. I'm like, and then everybody just caught on and started calling me that ever since.
So were you okay with that? I mean, you don't argue with the defensive coordinators, right?
Yeah, I was an undrafted guy, so you know, I was like, all right, they can call me what they want.
You know, let's talk about that. You know, you brought an undrafted guy. I don't think you can minimize the accomplishment of you sitting here right now. You're a free agent in the NFL, and they got all these scouts all over there looking through every college program for the guys they're going to draft. You're a free agent, and you're still here. First of all, are you bummed that you were a free agent? Because I was disappointed I was drafted in the fourth round. Were you mad about that? And then what about where you've gotten to so far?
At first, when I ended up going undrafted, yeah, I was, you know, a little bummed out about it. I have great support from my family, and they just tell me everything's going to be okay. Just, you know, my dad, you know, been through certain situations like mine. So he's like, it's all about where you finish. So just go in there with the mindset that you can play these guys and just play hard. And I took that and just ran with it.
Why Chicago? Because you can choose where you want to go. Why Chicago?
Yeah. At first, I was looking at Jacksonville and New England. But I don't know, just the tradition of linebackers here at the Bears, and I was actually thrilled to just come in and just learn from a guy like Briggs. So I'm like, yeah, you know what? Let me go to Chicago, and one of the linebacker coach, Coach Aaron, he played with my dad back at Florida State, so I know he's gonna coach me hard. So that intrigued me, and the coaches seemed like they wasn't just going to treat me like an undrafted guy. And they're going to give me an opportunity to come in and see what I can do. So I just chose Chicago.
Give you an opportunity is one thing. Yeah. Creating that next opportunity is your thing. So, you know, that hall had to click for you, too.
Yeah, it did. It did.
Now I'm working with Lance in his second career now. He's doing pre- and post-game with us on Comcast Sports. Any message you want me to pass along to Lance or no? You guys still talk or no?
No, I haven't talked to Lance in a while, but
all right, I'm going to get him on. Yeah. I'm going to get on him for about that. You know?
It's different. I think when you go from TV, well, you go from having a great playing career to the broadcasting part of it, you still have the friendships just as much as you had them in the locker room, but it's kind of you have a different approach to the season in terms of myself or Lance or Hilgi or whoever.
He's stayed pretty calm. He's not bouncing off the walls yet while he's watching you guys.
That's good.
But he's staying in shape. He's staying in shape just in case. So are you? It looks like are you smiling as much this year with the new staff, or do you gotta be a little more serious when a new staff comes?
Now you know there's times where I know I gotta be more serious, but I still smile. You know, I'm still blessed to have opportunity to play for this team. You know, and being a star in the role now, so I'm still happy and smiling about that.
How do you flip the switch though? On say you easy going, happy go lucky guy here, but when it comes time to flip the switch, how do you get in that mindset?
No, it's easy. Like once you go on the field and start warming up, something switches off and you're ready to go. You know, you come out and see all the fans cheering. You got the other team on the sideline. A lot of emotion goes through your head, so you immediately you just click and you're just ready to go.
You know, you talk about the history of the position of the Chicago Bears, but then you think of the history of the position and where Vic Fangio stands in terms of the linebackers that he's been able to coach. back when you were a kid to the guys at the San Francisco group, some of the best in football. So that had to be exciting for you to go through your first opportunity in the NFL with one defense, and then now you sit there and you line up and you're still there and do learn from a guy like Coach Fangio.
Yeah, it's been awesome. And Coach Fangio, he's a great coach. You know, he's not one of those guys that, you know, just yells at you or just, you know, curses you. Like he tries to make you understand why you do things and how the whole defense can work. I know a lot of the guys on the defense respond better to that. So it's been awesome working with them.
What was your reaction when you heard about the new coaching staff, especially Coach Fangio, and the scheme change that was going to happen with that?
Yeah, I was excited, you know, just first hearing John Fox was coming in. You know, he had so much success with all the teams he's been with, and he's got them so far. And the same with Coach Fangio, every defense he's on or he coaches, they were top in the NFL. So it was real exciting, you know. And the first thing, when I found out we had Coach Fangio, I know we're going to go to a 3-4. I'm like, you know, where are they going to put me? I'm going to be outside or inside. But it's been real cool having those guys here and having the experience and the leadership.
Is there a different feature to the locker room? Because when I was coached by an offensive-minded head coach, there was a lot of offense in the locker room. Yeah. And now you're coached by a defensive-minded head coach with the backup of Coach Fangio. Does the defense have a different approach, but a difference in the locker room?
Yeah, I think so. You know, we have a lot of guys. We got Intro Roll who just came in. He's been great so far. Him and Purnell, those guys, they get us riled up, you know, in practice, you know, in games. They get us focused and ready to go. And then you have Coach Fox who comes over here. And he comes with the defense, and he starts coaching us a little bit too.
Right.
So, you know, I really haven't seen anything like that since high school, you know. Like most college, big-time college coaches or big-time NFL coaches, they focus on, you know, one side of the ball. But he switches back and forth. He'd be coaching the offense. He'd be coaching the defense. He'd go up to the corners and say what he needs to do here. So it's real cool.
We need to take our first break here on Bears All Access. When we come back, for those of you who think the NFL players just show up and maybe practice for a couple of hours every day and then show up on Sunday, it's a little different story. We're going to ask Christian about what a typical work day is for him during the course of the regular season. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority from the PNC Studios at Halas Hall on 670 The Score, in front of an audience of our friends from FedEx. The Chicago Bears Network presents Inside the Bears, covering the world of Bears football on and off the field with Anthony Adams and Lauren Screeden, brought to you by Jimmy John's, and airing every Sunday night at 11:05 on Fox 32 Chicago, or go to chicagobears.com/insidethebears. This week on the show, Brian Urlacher and the Bears help Cole City High School rebuild after the city was devastated by tornadoes. Jarvis Jenkins goes for a ride in big guys in compact cars. I'm not sure if Christian qualifies for that. We'll have to see. And an introduction to a season ticket holder by the name of William Perry. Welcome back to Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority from the PNC Studios at Halas Hall on 670 The Score. We are with Bears linebacker Christian Jones, Tom Thayer. I'm Chris Bowden, filling in for Zach Zaidman this week. A live audience here as well from FedEx. We welcome them. So for those fans who might think, all right, you show up at maybe 11 or 12 o'clock every day during the week, during the season, go practice for a couple of hours, maybe meet or something and have lunch and then head home. What's a typical work day for you like during a regular season week, especially like Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, when it really gets down to crunch time?
Yeah, Wednesday, this is the work overload day. So today they give us a lot of information on our opponent. So this is kind of, today is like a really tough grind.
What time are you getting here usually?
It depends. Some guys will get here at 6, some will get here at 6:30, and we don't get out till about 5. So it's long days.
Yeah, and that was kind of like Tom's work day too, right?
But you know what's different about an NFL? And if you really want to have an NFL career, you cannot make mental errors. They are unacceptable. And, you know, when a work day is over at 5 o'clock, so for some of these guys, their work day should begin, because you have the opportunity on your iPad to take the day's worth of information, every drill throughout practice of the day, plus tape of your opponent. And when you're a young guy or a veteran, you have to go through every single day of every single preparation, of every single change, of every single offense you're seeing, and have no mental errors. So I think these guys, the effort they put in the day, it should almost be half that much after they leave here before they shut it down, because you have to study. And when you're trying to make the strides as a team with a new coaching staff, you got to study even more, because you're getting new terminology giving to you every single change of every single offense.
And there's really no off time during that. Maybe if you grab lunch, and I know a lot of guys even during lunch, they'll take lunch into the film room. I mean, there's really no free time unless you want to sit at your locker and talk to us for a 45-minute stretch there. But you're going from 6, 7 in the morning till at least 5 at night,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, at least. And like he hit on it, like you really gotta know everything. Like if you have one mental error in a game, it can cost you the game. So everything's important. I'm coming in as a rookie last year. That's probably the biggest thing for me, just having to do the extra, putting the extra hours of film study. You know, people are getting paid a lot of money. They're professionals, you know, so they expect you to know certain things.
And I'm sure you want to turn it off for a while once you get home at night. But then are you back in your iPad before you go to bed, spending some time looking at that too?
If you're a guy like me, yeah, you have to, because sometimes I'll be going through things and I just forget it and then I have to go back and re-look at it again. So you got to put in a little extra more time.
You know, a little bit of differences in our career. So you're coming home from Seattle this week. When we would go from the locker room, we'd go to the plane. And on the front and the back of the plane was a iced down container of beer. And on each seat was two beers and tied in a plastic bag. That was the NFL of that day. And so you wouldn't have access to any information for probably a 30-hour period. So you drive home, relax, get home, and get to work the next day. By the time these guys get out of the locker room, onto the plane, there is no more association to alcohol at all on any NFL flight. But they also have their iPad that has the game already loaded to it. So what used to be the pleasure part of a business trip is now a work. It is a work event when you're that 4 hours you're flying home, you're working. Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, the downtime after the game, it's really not. They say you have a day, but you don't. You still gotta come in. You gotta lift, and like you know, lift after a game is kind of like it's tough.
But how about this? You play 65 snaps in a game, and you have two bad snaps. How does that affect your night's sleep before you come in and get to see it in front of your peers?
That's probably one of the toughest things. Just knowing you did something wrong in the game, and then you're gonna get called out in front of everybody in your old team. So you're thinking about that the whole night. It's like, oh, I hope he doesn't show this play. I hope he doesn't see it.
Well, they're going to show it. Yeah. They're going to show it 10 times. They have to look at least one time at all 11 guys. So, you fall down and it going boom, back and forth.
Yeah, I'm glad my news director doesn't look at my tapes or listen to a radio broadcaster as closely as that. Who are you closest, what are the handful of guys that you're closest with on the team?
I'm close with Shay McClellan and John Bostic. Our lockers are right by each other. We're with each other throughout the whole day. We're always talking and joking with each other. So those are my two boys right there.
And you guys spend time together. Well, there's probably no time off the field really to hang out or anything like that, right?
Yeah, we try to get together. You know, if we want to do like a barbecue or something. You know, I know Shay just had a newborn kid, so I know most of the time he wants to go home and go see his kid and spend time with his family, you know. And sometimes we're just too tired to even do something, but we try to do some stuff when we can.
So the Shay, I think, that we in the media and everybody in the public knows is, you know, kind of a quiet, soft-spoken guy, but he can't be that way as much on the field this year because he's in charge of those signals. What's his, is he as quiet, I guess, in the locker room with you guys? Maybe he has to be loud on the field, but what's his – is his personality any different from what we usually see here in the public?
Yeah, I wouldn't say he's quiet. He's soft spoken. Shay will talk,
really?
especially on the field. He's a commander out there. You know, he gets everybody lined up, gets everybody set, and he's been doing a great job of that so far. But Shay, he'll joke around with you too. He'll surprise a lot of you.
Really?
Hung out.
You know, you're a young guy, but you have experience of what you achieved. Can you talk to Eddie Goldman about your experiences to help him not only speed up the learning curve, but if there's any questions or, boy, if you just need to see a friendly guy that you have some familiarity with, can you help him out?
Oh, yeah. And, you know, coming from college,
heck of a player too.
Yeah, he is big dude. Big dude. I played with him too a few years at Florida State. So, but you know, coming from the college level, the NFL, it's completely different. You don't have people trying to get you. You got to be where you have to be, or they're finding you.
Right.
You got to do everything right or, you know, you're going to get chewed out, or you're going to lose your job. So, so far, Eddie's been, he has some tough, some rough patches, but he's been doing good so far. You know, he's just got to keep continuing to climb. He's talented. He can do a lot of different stuff. You know, he keeps progressing. He's going to be a good player for this organization.
You know, I think of all these young guys a year from now, and even for myself, when you go to professional football, you probably eat better than you ever have in your life. Three meals a day. Yeah. That's so well designed for you that it can change yourself, your body type, your body style, and what you can accomplish. And for a guy like Eddie Goldman, you know, the sky's the limit. Yeah. So I think for all these young guys, what a great opportunity is to have a facility like Halas Hall to, and they supply you like that during the season.
Yeah, they really take care of us here.
When we come back after we take this break, we'll go back to Tallahassee a little bit more, talk about those college days at Florida State with Eddie, maybe what Christian's reaction was when he heard Eddie was going to be joining him here with the Chicago Bears. That when we return on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority from the PNC Studio at Halas Hall on 670 The Score. We'll be right back. Tune into the Bears Coaches Show, brought to you by McDonald's with Jeff Joniak and the Bears coaching staff, Monday nights at 6:30 on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. We're back in front of a live studio audience, the PNC studio at Halas Hall, with the fine folks from FedEx as Bears All Access continues on 670 The Score, brought to you by Sports Authority. Chris Bowden, Tom Thayer, joined by Bears linebacker Christian Jones. So what was your reaction when Dick Butkus went up and on day two of the draft and said, I like this, I like this pick, and then your buddy Eddie's name was announced?
Oh, I was happy. I'm like, finally, we get another Florida State guy up there. So it was cool hearing his name. And just for the defense we knew it was coming in, I'm like, it's perfect. I'm like, it's perfect pick.
Now, did he give you – did you get any hints that he was in here and – you know, Ryan Pace and John Fox and maybe even Vic Fangio were talking things over with him.
I didn't know. Like I was just watching the draft and they just said Eddie Goldman. I'm like, oh yeah, perfect. I'm like, perfect.
Well, you know, we were talking in the break and you said that Notre Dame was in your top five schools. Mm-hmm. You know, in consideration. Were. Too bad that, you know, we didn't.
I don't have to step between you guys here. What I wouldn't stand a chance anyway.
Like why Florida State? Was it Florida State because you grew up in Florida and just the high-profile school that it is and program?
It was just, at the end, it's just so hard to say no to them because my dad played there, my brother played there. So it's like, I grew up just Florida State my whole life. But my senior year, I tried to keep my options open. I took visits, and I love Notre Dame. They recruited me hard. I know I took a visit up there. It's just, when it came down to it, I'm like, oh, I can't leave Florida.
Well, you know, there's a lot of legendary players that have come through Florida State. Mm-hmm. That's easy to, especially if you grow up in that area, mm-hmm. to be attracted to.
Oh,
and
yeah,
there are some big-name players that have come out of there. Yeah,
now, definitely. was it pretty much down to Notre Dame and Florida State? Because I already heard what, Alabama and Florida and Tennessee, too?
Yeah, it's, my top five coming in was Florida State, Notre Dame, Tennessee, and Oklahoma.
Well, that ain't a bad group.
Right, yeah. I have to say, all the biggies. Good.
Now, you mentioned your dad and your brother going there. Your dad, Willie, was a second-round pick of the Oakland Raiders back in 1979, I believe. He played in Super Bowl 15, played 3 years in the league. I think I read also he had 10 sacks as a rookie, or something like that.
Yeah.
How do you only last 3 years? The injuries catch up or what?
Yeah, injuries just caught up to him, so he cut them short.
And I know your brother, Willie Jr., also played at Florida State, but tell me what you're able to glean from your dad. I mean, his career was over before you were born, but you know, what kind of things did you take from him, learn from him, and is there any film or video available?
I never seen any film on him, and I want to, but I never seen him.
You want to see if the hype lives up to the legend, or the legend leads up to the hype?
Was he there with Howie Long?
He was. Yeah.
He played with Kyle. How interesting is that? With two sons of two ex-Raiders on the same team.
That was pretty cool too. And I'm like, yeah, our dads play together, man. He's like, oh, that's awesome. But,
so what did he do after his playing days were over? Besides have kids?
Oh, he got into coaching. He went to a sterile high school down in Fort Myers and coached there, and then he had a job at UCF, Temple, and then the World Football League over in Amsterdam.
Wow.
And so now he's just, you know, he has his own construction business, so he's doing that now.
Was he a football influence? Did he want, you know, you grow up in Florida, you have the conditions where you can play sports all year round and play everything. Mm-hmm. Was he a football influence, a positive football influence to you, kind of knowing that you had the talent to be, you know, pushed in that direction?
Yeah, my dad was, he was real cool with me growing up. He never tried to push me into playing football. He was open up to me playing. I played basketball and soccer before I even played football. And he always told me to hold off on that for, I guess he didn't want me to get burnt out or something.
That's good advice.
He's like, yeah, just play these other sports, and if you still want to play when you get older, and play. And I'm like, all right. So when I got to around like seventh grade, I started playing football, and that's history.
All right. how tough of a critic is he?
He's not real hard on me. You know, he'll point out some stuff like, he's like, Chris, I know you're better than that. You know, get off that block and make the play. I'm like, all right, I got you. But he doesn't get in my ear about certain plays and games. He just always tells me, he sends me a text message, play hard, be relentless, just go and ball out. He tells me that every game.
You mentioned basketball and soccer. How long, you said football started up at seventh grade. Mm-hmm. How long did you continue to play those other ones? And then once you started playing football, was it like, oh, this is totally different than those other sports?
Yeah, well, growing up, I always thought basketball was going to be the route I was going to take. And even through high school, I was always thinking I'm going to do basketball. And I just started getting noticed by schools, even bigger schools for football. So right then, around my sophomore year in high school, I'm like, I guess, yeah, that's probably going to be the route I'm going to take.
You know, you always hear stories as Hakeem Olajuwon when he was growing up that he was a good soccer player. Mm-hmm. And you think of how creative his feet were at 7 feet tall. And I think athletes, if you don't have the feet to play, you can develop your upper body strength and all that kind of stuff in the weight room. But if you don't have the feet, you can't play. So that's probably a good thing for you at that age to be on a soccer field rather than a football
field.
And I
think that has a lot to for what I can do now. Coming out, I was considered a big linebacker. Some thought I was going to be a DN, but they saw me out there. I was covering smaller guys. I was doing certain stuff that I shouldn't be doing. So, like, oh, these guys pretty athletic. So I think that pays a lot to basketball and soccer.
Now, they moved you around a lot at FSU.
Yeah.
How frustrating was that? but do you think you're better off for it now?
Because
you were, what, at Sam, at Will?
D-end. Yeah, D-end. Okay. Then three, four outside linebackers. So I play a lot of different spots. But, it's something I was used to. It goes back to just when I started playing. I was always moved around a lot. I first started, I was a corner, you know.
Really?
Yeah, and then a safety. And I just kept getting bigger, so they kept moving me down like, you're going to be a linebacker. Yeah. But, I feel like all those positions, helped me become the player I am now. So, but when I Florida State, I didn't get frustrated about it. You know, I was always a team player, and I feel like the coaches moved me here just for a certain reason. And I feel like that had a lot to do with why we had so much success my senior year, when they were able to move me to DN and outside linebacker. And I never even played it really like that. So,
but that makes you a preferred free agent, too, is they know that your value is in your versatility.
Yeah.
Because in the NFL right now, you can't just be a one-position player, else your chances are slim. So, having the versatility, and look how many times you've already changed in the couple years you've been in the NFL.
And you finish up your collegiate career with a national championship. How much of a cherry on top was all that?
Oh, it was awesome, man. that was probably one of the happiest days of my life right there. I always dreamed of playing at Florida State and just winning a national championship. I'm like, this is awesome.
All right. Are you still in touch with this Jameis character every once in a while?
I talked to Jameis the last time we was all back in Florida State on this offseason, so I talked to him a little bit.
Okay.
And I saw him up here, too, when the team was interviewing for him.
Oh, really? Yeah. Okay. All right. So he seems like a pretty laid-back, cool dude.
Yeah, he's a character. He's a funny dude. He's a clown, man.
Those experiences, it seems like people come to the NFL, and then you see the high-profile personalities that are in the NFL.
Yeah.
You've got to be around a lot of them already in your college time, and that probably helped you develop as a player, that you don't absorb the distractions. You kind of, laugh them off and then go about your business.
Yeah, like you said, you're around characters on the team, and I feel like some people be, uptight about things. You got a goofball on the team that comes over and just makes everything all better, So it's cool having those characters. And I play with a lot of them, especially in college. And we got a lot of characters in the locker room, too.
But when you get yelled at by a coach, do you smile? Or can you hold a straight face?
I get sometimes I'm just like, okay, coach, I'm like, I got you. And then sometimes I'm like, Why is he on me like that?
Yeah.
And one of the guys coming like, man, don't worry about that, man. Just go out and play. And they just say a stupid joke, and I just like, all right, let's go.
All right, well, I bet you're hoping you're healthy and he's healthy come, was it November 23rd or something like that, when Tampa comes to town?
Oh, yeah.
A little, friendly dinner wager or something like
finally
that.
Finally get to hit Jameis, you know? finally get to hit him.
Hit him a few times, okay? Hit him a few times. Time for another break. That applause you hear is from our audience, folks from FedEx joining us here at the PNC studio at Halisall. When we come back, a little bit more about changing into this defense and keeping an eye on those Niners linebackers that Vic Fangio was so influential with from his days in San Francisco. That one, Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority, returns on 670 The Score. Welcome back to the PNC studio at Halisall on 670 The Score. You are listening to Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority, joined by a live audience from the fine folks at FedEx. I'm Chris Bowden, filling in for Zach Zaidman this week, alongside 85 Bear Tom Thayer and Bears linebacker Christian Jones. And let's at least start out the segment. If you guys have an idea about a deciding of a player of the week, brought to you by Sports Authority. Anyone in particular stand out, Tommy?
Yeah, you know, the first week, Zach and I kind of argued about...
I'm not going to argue with you,
Matt,
so don't worry about that.
Matt Forte and I was setting an argument for Kyle Long, and I have even more of an argument for Kyle Long this week, because if anybody saw the apparatus, he went out there and played with his right hand, having something wrong with it. And I don't think you understand how hard it is to have your outside arm of a right tackle without being able to grip or at least move your fingertips. And Kyle's been doing a heck of a job, I think the whole offensive line, but the difficulty in making that switch when Kyle did and having, you know, a couple of big-time opponents, I think Kyle's done a nice job.
All right, who you got? Anyone on the defensive side that really took care of business? I know one of the new guys came and had a good game in Purnell, but everyone was kind of focusing on that one miss that Palmer just got away from.
On the defensive side,
he beat that left guard so quick, you almost react to falling down because you're expecting somebody to at least get a hand on you in Purnell.
Right.
So, you know what? I'm gonna go with one of the D line. I'm gonna go with Jarvis Jenkins.
Okay. Yeah. He had some good pursuit early on. So now it's just a matter of closing and finishing. Right.
Exactly.
All right. So who are we gonna go with? You going Kyle Long or Jarvis Jenkins? How about for Kyle Long? Applause? Applause meter? Kyle Long? And Jarvis Jenkins? Oh, Christian. Oh. All right.
Y'all going to be surprised.
And he's going to tell Jarvis.
Oh, I am.
After this week. All right, so we'll give it to Kyle Long. All right?
Hey, you know what? I think Jarvis has done a nice job since he's been here.
Just don't tell Zach, all right?
No.
Yeah, both ways. So how much did 5 starts for you last year help going into this year?
I think it gave me some confidence and gave me something to build on to going into this season.
Mm-hmm. And now that the new regime comes in, and did you have to change your body? What did you want to do with your body in the off season from your rookie year when you experienced this, you know, 4 month, even longer, 6 month war on your body? What did you want to do in your off season in kind of changing your body type? And did you have to? Even though it's a slight position change, going inside this year?
I focused on this past offseason was just getting stronger. And I was able to, put on 10 pounds of muscle. So I just wanted to be stronger, in the run game, be able to, get off blocks faster.
the weight room, and they have the power plates in there, and they have a lot of change to it. As a young guy, did you grow up liking weightlifting, or is the new introduction to the new people that you always meet, is it a good, healthy thing for you?
Well, when I first started off, not really. I was a basketball player, a soccer player. So I was 2 inches in lifting weights. But, I like the way our new strength staff has us working. They train us smart, and they don't try to just overload us with a bunch of weights. We get a good amount of weights, and we're able to go with it right there.
Did Florida State have to twist your arm to get in the weight room, or when you were supposed to be in there, were you in there?
I'd say my freshman year they did, but after that, when you start seeing results, it's like okay, they're teaching us some good stuff. So I started becoming more into the lifting weights after that.
Well, I put on 10 pounds this offseason, too, so I'm right there with you. So, I saw a quote from Vic Fangio when training camp was starting. Maybe it was during OTAs. Vic said about you, you won't be where you need to be for 2 or 3 years. Like, what? What's that about? But do you understand kind of what he's saying with that kind of quote?
Oh, yeah. You mean, look at the guys he coached. I mean, had Navarro Bowman, Patrick Willis, those guys are studs. And you know, I think he sees me as a young player, you know, that has a potential to grow into a really good player. So I understand what he's saying on that. You know, he just wants me to keep getting better and growing every day we go out there and practice.
And once he came in, did you study a lot of those, I mean, Willis and Bowman in particular?
Oh, yeah. I watch those guys all the time. You know, Patrick Willis is just a hammer, man. He's everywhere on the field. Navarro Bowman's a smart player. And he's also everywhere. I mean, I was watching him in the past preseason games, and he came back from towards ACL or something. And he is all around the field, you know. Just seeing guys like that, that's how you want to model yourself as a linebacker, you know, to try to do the things they do.
But, you know, his youth is lost, because when you think about Pat Swilling and Ricky Jackson and Vaughn Johnson and Sam Mills with the New Orleans Saints when Vic was coaching those guys, they were the best linebackers in the NFL for a significant period of time. And you see a group that would get better every year when you thought they were as good as they can get. And then you can kind of understand what Vic is saying there, that when, you know, you're hearing this terminology maybe only the 10th time, but you need to hear it 1,000 times.
Yeah.
You know, those are the things that Vic, you know, words of encouragement from him to you about how hard you guys have to work.
And what kind of strengths do you think you have right now, and what areas do you find yourself focusing on a lot more in your individual game?
I feel like for me personally, I want to be more better in the, you know, passing game, being able to understand route concepts, being able to read, you know, play action and boots faster. That's something I've been trying to work on since we started back up with the new coaches.
All right.
How's the communication between you and Shea? Do you guys need to verbalize things every play, or is there enough familiarity with each other that can be an eye contact, or just even if an offense moves, you guys know that you guys are on the same page?
I think right as of now, we're both still communicating with each other verbally. I don't think we're at the point right now where we can be like, you know, we can just play off. I think at some points in games, we do that. But it's not where it should be right now. But I think we're on the right path. And right now, I think we're doing a pretty good job right now.
We need to take another break here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority from the PNC Studio at Halas Hall on 670 The Score. When we return with Christian Jones, a little bit on the quarterbacks and the offenses that they face so far here in the first couple weeks of the season, and the one coming up on this Sunday, that when we return from the PNC Studio at Halas Hall. Spend game day with the Chicago Bears Network, starting with Bears Game Day Live, brought to you by Advocate Healthcare at 10:30 Sunday morning on Fox 32 Chicago. And after the game, Bears Game Night Live, brought to you by CDW at 10:35 p.m. after the final word on Fox 32 Chicago. We are in front of a live Kyle Longlovin audience from FedEx here at the PNC Studio at Halas Hall.
Love Kyle Long.
You are listening to Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on 670 The Score. But I think they're starting to love Christian Jones, too. I think so. That was louder than Kyle's applause there. So, explain to fans. You know, This is easy for us, but I don't know if fans always understand keys. Mm-hmm. Explain what keys are and your reads, your responsibilities, maybe for you, and how they're different now in 3-4 than they are in a 4-3.
For the most important part for us is, you know, just reading. I know for us, the guards, and our coaches are always stressing when those guards pull, how to come down on, how to take on
the former guard shakes his head here.
The guards usually don't lie to you, though. They usually don't lie to you, but
Tom's thinking, did I lie to anybody?
No, I'm thinking of what I would be thinking about if I was playing against a 3-4 linebacker. Because you can't give away anything with the balance of your stance. And linebackers, they see thousands of them, and then you see them on tape. So there's a story that can be told before the ball's ever snapped if you read stance as well.
So is it primarily guards for you?
Yeah, I know. Even sometimes we have coverage responsibility on the back, and sometimes the back will give it away what they're going to do, if they're going to free release or they're just going to check through the line. Like sometimes if they're just going to just sprint out, they get wide. Mm-hmm. They get right on the tackle. Usually they're like lined up in the B gap, but they get wide and we know they're just going to sprint out. Or say if you got a receiver that's tight, you know he's going to run underneath you. Or so there's a lot of stuff you can't.
This is all the stuff we were kind of talking about earlier in the show about doing your homework. I'm sure coaches bring it up in front of everybody, but then when you're bringing your iPad home or looking at it on the way home from a game or previewing the next week's opponent, it's just picking some things up in terms of a lean or just a slight difference in stance, right?
Yes, especially when you're trying to pick up a quarterback's snap cadence, you know. You play the good ones, it's hard to pick up one of them. You play guys like Aaron Rodgers, Brady, they're gonna switch it up all the time.
You know, one thing I see with quarterbacks, and when I watching tape and watch the repetitiveness of it, if you see a quarterback that usually when you see a quarterback pointing in a direction, he's pointing to the offense and what direction the linebackers that they're responsible for that are part of the protection. Mm-hmm. When I see quarterbacks and they'll go like this, what I'm doing on radio, I'm sorry, is I'm pointing to my left, but I'm looking to my right or center. It's a run. Because you have to identify the linebackers you're responsible for because they can do so many things, and you have to make eye contact almost with them. If they nonchalantly point in a direction but aren't looking, it's a run. and these quarterbacks are repetitive about doing it, and that's some of the things that after watching tape for so long, that's what I see.
And, yeah, we hope Russell Wilson isn't listening to this. Pick this up. But, you know, you've already faced Rodgers and Palmer so far this season. What's the difficulty in keeping execution and confidence going, especially if things start snowballing the other way? I mean, it's got to be frustrating, especially, you know, against Rodgers week one with how elusive that he is. Mm-hmm. And you're that close and, you know, all of a sudden you're grabbing air.
Yeah, Coach Fangio always tells us, you know, these guys are good players. They're gonna make their plays. So you gotta know that going into the game. Like, don't get discouraged. You know, Rodgers might step up and scramble. You know, that's what he does. Mm-hmm. But they're gonna make their plays. But our job is to try to limit those big plays. So that's what we try to do when we go out there. Just understand our opponent, who they are, and how we can do to limit some of the stuff they're good at.
And you only have one responsibility to the huddle call. I think the key is not trying to do too much.
Exactly.
Just make sure that you understand your assignment according to everything that happens after the ball is snapped, and things will work out
exactly
for you.
Yeah, and we know Shea's the play, defensive play caller in the huddle, but who out there gets the most vocal on the field or on the sidelines? And we saw Antrell with the DBs during the course of the game, gathering everybody around on the field of the defensive starters, who's most vocal and is, you know, firing everybody up or hollering at anybody if they need to be.
Yeah, Purnell's he's definitely that guy. Okay. Especially when we're in the tunnel, he tries to get us all fired up and pumped up. And even, you know, teams have a big drive when us here, he'll step in and, you know, give us a little speech, try to get us going.
But there's really no time for that between plays or anything like that. You can't be screaming at each other when, you know, assignments have to be read. And
you know, Willie Young has a lot of enthusiasm out there. And even in training camp, there's a couple times I've seen Will Sutton either make a big play and really can blow up enthusiastically and have some fun with it. And one thing, with the music you guys play at practice every day,
Tom's playlist, by the way.
Right. But it's funny because as you think about yourself, what would you be doing if they were playing music like this at practice? And I look at a guy like Will Sutton, he dances a lot. You know, I mean,
dancing there right there.
Dance fever, Will. Well, speaking of noise, we'll talk about the place that the Bears are going to this Sunday, the 12th man, the Link, and some of the guys at Christian Company are going to have to stop. That when we return, as we take this break here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority from the PNC Studios at Halas Hall on 670 The Score. Heading down the home stretch here on Bears All Access on 670 The Score. We're here with Bears linebacker Christian Jones. So you were in Seattle last year for that preseason game. I imagine preseason noise isn't quite like regular season noise up there in Seattle, even though unfortunately they were having a fun time. But what was the loudest college stadium you remember playing at?
The loudest stadium. Probably
FSU?
It's loud there, but
Tennessee's loud.
Yeah, Tennessee is loud.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really loud. When I went up there, it was loud. Florida's loud. Oklahoma was loud.
So I imagine you're glad you're not playing offense, though, when you go to a place like Seattle.
Loud is different to offense to defense.
Yeah, well, and like you said, when we played Seattle preseason, it was pretty loud. It's pretty loud there for that preseason game.
Well, do your best to keep them quiet this week if you can.
But, you know, it's weird is like we talked about you and Shea communicating. When it is that loud, offensively, you can't commute verbally, but does it affect you because you can hear the quarterback's cadence when you're playing them at home?
Does it affect us if we get...
Do you find yourself paying attention in listening to the cadence, or is it something that you leave it out of your mind?
When it's most of the time, we try to look for... You know, sometimes a quarterback will step back, you know, tap his leg a couple of times and then hike the ball. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you can't really hear. You kind of look for that or, you know, the little hand smack. You know, some linemen, they smack each other. We won't do like that.
Right.
Hike the ball.
Well, it's different because, you know, you go through it. You play Green Bay at Green Bay, and you can hear Aaron Rodgers as clearly as anything. But when you go to, like, in Chicago, and you can't hear the quarterback's cadence, it kind of puts you more into just a focus on the football rhythm.
Yeah, exactly.
Obviously, the two names offensively, when you talk about Seattle, Russell Wilson and Marshawn Lynch. I know in the locker room today you were asked about Marshawn. Mm-hmm. You ready to square some shoulders on him this week or not?
Yeah, he's gonna be a tough player, but I know we're all getting mentally and physically prepared for that. You know, a guy like that, you got to respect him as a player and know what he does good. But you know, we're gonna swarm to him and we're gonna make our plays on him.
And the added I shouldn't say bonus, but problem is the way how mobile that quarterback is, and Russell Wilson, the way he moves around. They're a better offense when he's moving from side to side. What do you have to watch out for with him, particularly in trying to contain?
Just you gotta try to keep him in the pocket. We same rules that we had with Rodgers. You know, you gotta rush as a unit. You can't have all guys rushing up the field or a guy's out of his gap because he's gonna step up and he's gonna find passing lanes or he's just gonna take off.
It's a challenge of fundamentals, too, because you have Marshawn Lynch, the position, the tackling position you have to be in for him, and then the preparedness you have to have for Russell Wilson. Exactly. So it will be a challenge of your fundamentals.
Yeah, it's going to be tough, you know, especially if Marshawn leaks out and then you have Russell just back there looking to throw and then you have a linebacker covering Marshawn because you don't want to drop it off to him. So
that's a problem.
Yeah, it's going to be a challenge.
And it's a unique skill set with Wilson, too, that the other two that the Bears have played so far this season didn't have. Maybe Rodgers similar, right?
Right. I think Russell Wilson controls a game with his athleticism as well as any quarterback in the NFL. And, you know, we've seen it since he's come into the NFL.
That's going to do it for this edition of Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority.
Hour.
We could have it. Another hour, you guys? Well, we can stick around and do this. Thanks to our live studio audience, the folks from FedEx who have become big Christian Jones fans here. Thank you, Christian, for joining us here. For Tom Thayer, filling in for Zach Zaidman, I'm Chris Bowden. Thanks for joining us on this edition of Bears All Access. We'll see you again next week, everybody.